Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Our third installment of Road Rules for Life. While you're turning there, a little boy walked up to the preacher after the morning service and said, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you a lot of money." The preacher laughed and said, "That's great. Why?" The little boy answered, "Because my dad said you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." Not at this church. That's at another church down the road somewhere, I'm sure. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, let me just backtrack just a little bit. We've been preached by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, on these Wednesday nights. We've been preached about the last two Sundays as well. Howbeit, when he, how many of you, the Holy Ghost is a person. It's not just a floating spirit out there somewhere. It's a person. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, big S on that spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you signs, some things to come in your future. The third installment of Road Rules starts now. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I've got a 15-year-old driver in my house. And I got a big truck. I'm in Texas. I have ranches, and so I need a truck, and I love a truck. I love being able to sit up higher than most of everybody else on the road and just look down on them and say things like, "You call yourself a man in your little smart car. I could put your smart car in the bed of my truck, and we could take off." But Tyler's been practicing in Mandy's hybrid. It's a Hyundai. It's very tiny. We could drive it right down the aisle of this church. And she went from a Navigator to a Hyundai. Now, I like that decision. $75,000 vehicle, $21,000 vehicle. Sounds good to me. The Navigator got about 16 miles to the gallon. Her new car gets 60 miles to the gallon. For $10 to fill up her tank, she gets 600 miles. And I fill up my tank every 5 days, and it's $80. And so she likes her gas payment a lot more than I like mine. So having said all that, Tyler has been driving with her until Sunday. He got in the truck with me, and I said, "You're going to drive home." And so he got in my truck, and he said, "It feels different in the back parking lot here." He pressed on that accelerator, and that thing sucked down and, I mean, took off. He said, "Man," I can feel this one. I said, "Yeah, you can. This is a man's truck." And on the way home, I was explaining every sign that he saw. That's what this sign means. That's what this sign means. And he's gone through courses online, but how many of you know going through courses online and actually driving on the road is completely different? Because now you're driving 40, 50, 60, 70 miles an hour in some cases, 75 miles an hour out on I-10, and you're seeing these signs come at you real quick. Not only are you driving 70 miles an hour and these signs are coming at you quick, you've got semis passing you. You've got pedestrians hitchhiking. You've got the van with the blown-out tire on the shoulder that didn't quite get far enough over. And so you've got all this stuff coming at you, and you still got to maintain control and be able to read the signs and still make it to your destination. That's why it's really important, church, that we come to church ready to receive, but realize that this is the classroom and that when we leave this building, life's coming at us fast. And there's semis all around us, and there's potholes, and there's accidents, and there's traffic, and signs change, and signs blow over. And I remember we were out on 1518 in Schertz, and Tyler said, "What's the speed limit?" Now, that's a road I've been driving all of my life. That's one of the roads I learned to drive on, and I drive it every day. He said, "What's the speed limit?" I said, "I don't know." And he looked at me like, "Dad, you're on this road every day." "I'm sorry, son, I don't know. I just drive the speed that feels good. Do as I say, not as I do." And so it just clicked in my brain that a lot of times we're on the road so long that we can see the signs in our periphery, but we really don't know what they mean, or we ignore them, or they change. Speed limits change on 15, 18. In the last 15 years, they've added two school zones, so it will drop. And I studied up. It is 55 miles an hour, but it'll drop from 55 to 30 in the school zone, and so things change. And so tonight, in just a few moments, we're going to talk about the most ignored sign on the road and the most misunderstood sign on the road. We're going to talk about stopping and yielding. Is that all right? So we're on this road that God has called us on, this journey of faith, this road that is a narrow road that we're doing our best to get to God's destination for us. And when we realize this, that we all share a destination. That destination is heaven. Heaven is my goal. Is it your goal? That's where I'm headed. That's where I'm going. That's where Jesus is, and I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus, and I'm on this road called life, and so my eternal destination is heaven. But how many of you know God not only has an eternal destination, but he has a destination he wants you to hit while you're on this earth? He's got a target that we should be pointed to, a place that we're working towards and from our faith and from the Spirit of God and from all the tools that God has given us. But let me just encourage you with this. God's got a 2019 destination for you. God's got an October 2019 destination for you. God's got a destination at the end of this day that when you woke up, God said, when you go to sleep tonight, I expect you to be at this point of your journey. And it is the Spirit of God, the last two sessions, you can catch them on livingwaychurch.net or iTunes. The last two sessions, we talked about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit was given to us, not to confuse the evidence with the purpose. The evidence is that I would speak in other tongues. When I speak in other tongues, I announce to heaven, I am now filled with the Spirit. I announce to hell, you better watch out because I'm not an also-ran, but now I have the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ, and I can do the same things that Jesus did. And Jesus went on to say, greater than these things shall you do. It's to announce to the world that I'm not like everybody else. I am different. I have tapped into the anointing, into the supernatural. And so when we understand that the Holy Spirit shows us signs every day, we've got to be led by the Spirit. And the evidence is speaking in tongues, but the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to guide us, it is to teach us, it is to give us power, it is to anoint us, it is our comforter, it is our teacher, our leader, our guide. And so we went through all of that, and we talked about the Holy Ghost being our GPS. And so here we are now talking about the signs. And the first one I want to talk about tonight is the stop sign. It is the most ignored sign on the road. Even when we think we're stopping, we're doing that California stop where we could be running 80 miles an hour and we slow down and we just kind of, and we go on. And we think nothing of it. Check this out. If you blow through a sign going 70 miles an hour, you broke the law. If you crawl through a stop sign going 1 mile an hour, you broke the law. And when the law is broken, let's just go Old Testament. When the law is broken, access to God begins to become denied because the law or the word has not been followed. Now we have, come on now, an ever-present help named Jesus. He is our advocate and our high priest. He is how we can stand before God. We have access to him at any time. And when we blow through the stop signs of life, and when the Holy Ghost tells us to pump our brakes and stop, and we continue to go, it's not that Jesus closes the door, but we refuse to take advantage of the access to Jesus or to God that Jesus gives us. And I want to encourage you today that you ought to get so stirred up in the Spirit that when the Holy Ghost stops, you do a brake check and you throw everybody in the back seat and the floorboard because you're stopping because the Holy Ghost said to stop. Drinks go flying. People are made uncomfortable. Every once in a while with my family, the Fender 4, when we're all in my truck driving, I'll just do a brake check. I love it. They're just in the middle of talking, and I'll just hit that brake, and everybody in that seatbelt catches them, and they start complaining, and I'm just laughing, driving down the road. Because brake checks are uncomfortable, but stopping is necessary. Now, the world stops for many reasons. On their road and on their path and on their journey, they stop for many reasons. They stop because of traffic. Too many people on the road. Let me tell you something. When you get on the road that God has called you to be on, traffic will never be a problem. Because there's not a whole lot of people going your way. There's not a whole lot of people. Come on, church. We should be attempting to do such great things that we are out there by ourselves, just us and the Holy Ghost. We should be attempting to do such incredible feats of faith that when we step out on that road, we look around and it's like Sunday on the way to church. Nobody's on the road. So we stop for traffic. Let me tell you something about traffic. Traffic is not because there's too many people on the road only. Traffic is when the people on the road don't know what they're doing. Have you ever thought, sitting in traffic, there must be a terrible accident, only to find out there is no terrible accident? That there's a van with a flat tire, there's a fire on the side of the road. Traffic is a lot of people who don't know what they're doing on the road. Can I encourage you, you either get on board, you get out the way, or you're going to get run over. I don't have time to sit behind people who are on the road of faith that are going too slow and that are indecisive and they're slowing down and they're speeding up and they're gawking and looking all around. Why? Because my face is set like a flint. And when I'm on the road, I can't be stopping when the world stops because God has a plan that I am trying to initiate. Traffic is caused because of someone else's accident. Traffic is caused because of rubbernecking, the worst. That's when you are infatuated with someone else's crash. We've got way too many people in the church that are way too concerned with how everybody else is living. We have people that are way too concerned with what she wore to church and how many times he's been married. And what you heard about so-and-so, and what so-and-so did. And we're so concerned talking about their crash that we're going to crash ourselves or we stop because we are so concerned looking at them that we forget that we've got a race to run, that God has put something in front of us, and I'm sorry, and I'll pray for you as I pass you, but I'm not going to stand there and gawk at your accident when I know that God has called me to something great, and I don't have time to stop, to slow down and to look. Before iPhones, before smartphones, we stopped to get directions. Now, we might have got lost 8 times before we finally listened to our wife to go into the stop and go. That's what they had back then, before iPhones, stop and go and get directions. So there's a lot of reasons we stop in the world, but the Holy Spirit stops us for 3 reasons. The Holy Spirit will throw a stop sign on your Monday because there's an accident that it wants you to avoid. And we have to be so in tune with the Holy Ghost, the purpose of the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit says stop, it's not stop, but it is stop. I'm not moving. Have you ever seen those movies where they find out they're in a minefield? And they step, and when they figure it out, they don't move until all of the things around them that could harm them have been dealt with by somebody that knows what they're doing. That's what the Holy Ghost does. There's times in my life when it seems like, man, Brother Robert, I'm covering 100 miles an hour, and here I am growing, and I'm moving in faith, and everything's going right, and all of a sudden on a Friday morning, the Holy Spirit says, stop. And I think, my God, let me just go. And the Holy Ghost says, stop. And sometimes it doesn't say go for the rest of the day. And I'm stuck there. And the devil will tell you, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, the devil will tell you that a stopped saint is a failed saint. But a lot of times when you stop, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, you are avoiding an accident that is in front of you. And when the Holy Ghost says stop, what the Holy Ghost is saying is if you keep going, you're going to meet him, and that him is going to mess up your life. If you keep going, you're going to get involved in that situation, and that situation is going to mess up your family. So when the Holy Ghost says stop, I've learned to just stop and to enjoy the season of my life of being stopped, because I know There's a reason that the Holy Ghost would throw up the sign and say, stop. And I've got to have enough faith in my Holy Ghost that I know that I've heard from God. God said to stop. And devil, you can't get me to move when my God said to stop. We stop when we're going the wrong way. Have you ever been on a road trip? This happened to me a couple years ago. And it gets so late, people are sleeping in the car, and you don't take the right turn. Luckily, I caught mine about 25 minutes in. But when I pulled it back up on my iPhone, I realized I was going the wrong direction. Now, embarrassment would keep you going the wrong direction so nobody knows you made a mistake. But when I'm trying to get to Texas, I don't want to end up in Canada. So when I take a wrong turn or I'm going the wrong direction, the Holy Ghost will say, stop. And when I stop, the Holy Ghost will say, now you turn. Because where you're going is where you just came from. And I didn't deliver you out of what you just came from to take you right back to that spot. I've got something better for you. I've got something greater for you. And I need you to stop. I need you to survey the situation. I need you to get your GPS, your God positioning system, and say, oh, man, on Monday I made a wrong turn. I'm glad I found out on Wednesday because now I'm only 2 days behind schedule. I'm glad that I didn't try to do it all through September, October, November, December, and find out that I'm 4 months down the road in the wrong direction. And so when the Holy Ghost says stop, I stop. Some of us are on the wrong road. Some of us are not going the direction that God has called us to. Some of us have gotten turned around. You know, a lot of people have gotten off course in the storms of life. That wind blows, the rain comes down, and there's hurricane conditions, and we don't realize that where we're going, I thought I was going the right way, but I found out in the storm, I got turned around. Well, let me tell you something. I serve the God that can bring peace to the storm, and I have the Holy Ghost that can speak directions after the storm, in the middle of the storm, to say, Brandon, you're off just a little bit, and if you'll turn two clicks to the right, if you'll get yourself headed north, you're going to end up where I called you to be. And then we stop when we arrive at our destination. Sometimes we miss the mark. That's what sin is. It's missing the mark. And when the Holy Ghost tells us to stop, sometimes it's because we're out of place, wrong direction. Sometimes it is to avoid an accident, but sometimes we get so worked up in the journey that we have to be reminded, you're here. Some of us are working so hard on our career that we have missed out that God has already blessed us with great marriages, great children, a good job, but we're looking so far into the future that we don't stop to look around and say, God, I praise you for where you have me today. I know I was so concerned with the next year and the next deal and the next promotion and this next and this next and this next, but I just want to thank you. Thank you, God, for where I'm at today. I was talking with Brother Jerome on Sunday, and I said, God is just, and we were just encouraging one another after church on Sunday, and I just encouraged him, he encouraged me, and I said, Brother Jerome, we're blessed men. He said, we are blessed. And I said, there is a lot of people, most of the people in this world would trade us for our problems any day of the week. And I've got to learn that I've arrived at a lot of the places God said I would get to, and so I stop to celebrate what God has done, but I stop to receive my next impartation, my next direction, my next level of anointing, because I know if I stop and I end in this destination, I know it's not the end of my story, it's just the end of a chapter, and God's getting ready to flip the page over, and I've got something new, I've got something bigger, I've got something better, I've got something that God has put in front of me. And so the Holy Ghost says, stop. Inhale, exhale, celebrate, and now let's get moving to the next destination. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, stop every once in a while. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. He said, when I matured in my walk with God, there are some things that simply had to stop. There are people that I went to high school with that we are now 20 years removed from high school, and they're doing the same thing. They're in the same honky-tonks that they were 20 years ago on Friday nights. They're in the same relationship cycle that they were at 18. How many of you know when you're 38, 39 years old, you shouldn't be dating like you did at 18? And they're stuck in those cycles. But how many of you know that when the Holy Ghost gets in you, it matures you to a level. And you understand that there is things that I don't do as a believer at the age I am, not a chronological age, but a maturity age. Meaning this, I've been on this road long enough to know that if I do that, I'm going to end up wrecking my life. I've been on this road long enough to know if I let her in my car, it's going to mess up my family. I've been on this, and so I'm like, Paul, when I was a child, I could get by doing childish things. But when I became a man of God, when you became a woman of God, and when you became full grown and mature in the Spirit of God, there are certain things I don't do anymore because I know it's going to take me off course and get me off of the road. And there are rules to my life that I live by. And so there's things that I stop. Me personally, I don't drink. Me personally, I don't smoke. Many reasons I don't do a lot of those things. The main reason is I'm too cheap. I'll take the Fender Ford Outback, y'all. It's $100. And listen, when Brandon goes anywhere, it's not just a little, it's a lot. It's not steak only, it's steak and shrimp. And a lot of butter on the bread. And a salad to make me feel good. Unsweetened tea to make me feel even better. That hardly ever happens. But some of us are complaining about money problems, but you drink about $100 a week. Some of us complain, I don't have enough to tithe, I don't have enough to give, I don't have enough to pay my bills. Yeah, but you're smoking them cancer sticks like they're going out of style, and now we're seeing that those that have changed to vaping, you might as well go right back to the sticks because at least the stick's not going to blow up in your face. There's a lot of things that I stop because I realize there's more value in my future than what I'm taking substance-wise now. There's a reason that I don't do those things because it is a judgment call. And for me to do some of those things, that's going to cause me, that's why we call it DUI and DWI, driving while intoxicated, driving under the influence. It's a big thing these days because what the Department of Motor Vehicles is saying, what DPS is saying is we can't trust you to drive right if you're always under the influence of something else. Can I encourage you, the day that you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you became under the influence of something else, and it's greater than any substance you could put up your nose, in your vein, or down your throat. Oh, I do drive while I'm intoxicated, but I'm not intoxicated as you suppose. I'm like Peter on the day of Pentecost. Oh, I am drunk, but it's not with drugs, it's not with alcohol. I am under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and it keeps me between the lines. It keeps me on the road. It keeps me focused on my destination. So some things I stop because I am no longer a child. I am a grown-up. One of our young men, our leaders, fresh out of high school, raised his hand on Saturday night. He said, I got a prayer request. I said, what's your prayer request? He said, I'm working hard. And I'm tired, and I need more energy, and I need this and this. And he just laid it all out. And so I said, so you're an adult. We'll pray for you, but that's been my life for the last 20 years. Working hard, focused, staying on the road, getting rid of this guy out of my car, making sure my car can make it to the next destination, making sure when the Holy Ghost says stop, I stop. Make sure that every other influence that says go, when the Holy Ghost says stop, that they're the ones that go. You can keep going. Because if you're there rooting me on when the Holy Ghost says to stop, one of us got to go, and it's not going to be me. Exodus 14:13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses said, children, stop. You're running around like crazy, trying to figure out what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, and where we're going to go. He said, stop. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes the Holy Ghost tells us to stop, not to give us direction, just to see the greatness of God. I'm worried about this. I'm stressed about this. I'm frustrated with this situation. And God says, stop. All right, God, what do you want me to do? God just said, I just want you to stop. Stop overthinking. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. And look up from the to the hills from which cometh. If you look up, you'd see my hand working in your life. If you look up, you'd hear my voice screaming in your life. If you just look up, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he shows you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen to this day, you shall see them again. You will never see them again. Stop. You're never going to see that Goliath again. Stop. Take a picture. Take a selfie. You're never going to see Goliath again. Come on. Take a selfie. Stop. You're never going to see that cancer again. Stop. You're never going to have that issue at your job again. Stop. You're never going to have depression again. And some of us, God, I don't know what I should do. Maybe I should go to this psychologist. Maybe I should go to this psychiatrist. And maybe I do need to get on some antidepressants. And God's saying, stop. Stop. God, what am I stopping? I just need you to look up. I need your full attention. Watch what I'm about to do. Watch where we're about to go. Stop. Isaiah 40, I love this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But before they do any of that, the Bible says those that wait upon the Lord, stop. If you don't have direction, stop. If you don't know what to do, stop. But this is where most of us get it twisted. Stopping does not mean that we are not productive. Because listen to me, I can worship while I wait. I can praise when I hit pause. Come on now. I can pray while I'm posturing, getting ready for God to do. I can serve while I'm standing still. And so just because I stop doesn't mean that I don't know what to do exactly. Because when I don't know what to do, I do what I already am doing and what I know to do. So when I don't know exactly where to go, I pray. When I don't know exactly what to do, I dance. When I don't know what to do, I get in the Word. And I can do all of that while I'm waiting on the Lord. Stop. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, stop. I got a few more minutes. Let's go to yield. Most people confuse these two signs. Check this out. We don't stop at the one that says stop. We roll. We don't go at the one that says yield. We stop. Which means this. Come on, church, stay with me. You know how to go, and you know how to stop. We've just got to get them in the right order, and we've got to get our ears finely tuned with God so that when he says stop, we stop, and when he says go, we go. Most people stop when they should yield, and they yield when they should stop. Yielding never means stop. Yielding, and I taught this to Tyler at 1 o'clock on Sunday, getting onto Interstate 10, a lot of traffic, semis coming. I said, Tyler, your chance and your choice now is not to stop. Your choice is to speed up and get in front of this semi, which is what I would do, or slow your speed and get behind the semi, which is what you're going to do. And I said, you've got all of this lane, all of this on-ramp to figure it out. And if you can't figure it out by then, you've got that shoulder. Not in the grass, but you got the shoulder. If you absolutely have to use that, use that. But never stop at a yield sign. Yield never means stop. Yield means yield. Stop means stop. Yield, listen to this. Yield means obedience. Yield goes to obedience, and obedience goes to movement. When you hear the word yield, it means I am going to obey the voice that I hear. So the Holy Ghost sometimes tells you to stop, and sometimes the Holy Ghost tells you, slow your roll. Every husband is more filled with the Holy Ghost than they think. Because when your wife and you get into a fight, and you're about to say something, The Holy Ghost will say, no, 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 no. You want to sleep on, oh, I'm getting some amens now. You want to sleep on the couch? Do you want to stay here? Do you want that frying pan upside your head? Do you want to be in the literal doghouse? Stop, don't you say it. The Holy Ghost works. Does this dress make my backside look big? The Holy Ghost starts talking. Let me just encourage you, men, when that question is asked, the answer is always no. Then you got to feign, if you have to, surprise. You got to jump back if necessary. Why would you ask that question? Yielding, knowing what to say, what to do, when to slow down, when to speed up. Sometimes we're taking too long to get through some storms, and the Holy Ghost says, if you pick up the pace, the storm's going to last half as long. If you pick up the pace, all of this season that you've been going through that has been making you uncomfortable, it's not supposed to last all year. If you pick up the pace, by the end of this month, you're going to be in the next season of your life. Don't stop when the Holy Ghost says slow. Don't stop when the Holy Ghost says get up and go. We've got too many believers that are sitting on the highway of faith at a yield sign, and the Holy Ghost is saying, go, go, go. Your destiny is at your fingertips. Your breakthrough is in the next day of your life. But we're sitting there saying, I think that semi is going too fast. I'm just going to stop. I think that little Kia is going, I'm going to have to stop. You don't. When the Holy Ghost says yield, you yield. Obey and adjust your speed accordingly. Sometimes we're moving too fast. You move too fast, you lose control. Praise team, come. Luke 9:35, King James Version. This is Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. This is what God the Father said in a booming voice to Jesus, James, John, and Peter. The Amplified Version, listen to this, verse 35, Luke 9. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, my chosen one. Listen and obey and yield to him. And yield to him. Anytime that you hear from God, there is a corresponding obedience. So anytime that God gives me a command and I hear from God, I am already looking for a place that I can put movement and I can put action to what I've heard. Amen, church? Hearing equals obeying. This is what every believer should understand. Hearing and obedience should be synonymous in the life of every believer. I hear it, I do it. I hear it, I do it. Not I hear it from God and then I'm going to pray about it. No, hearing from God is prayer. You don't have to pray about something God has said. That's why I always think it's a little backwards when I say, well, I'm going to pray and see if it's God's will to heal me. You don't need to pray about that. God's word said he will heal you by the stripes on his back. He calls himself the great physician. You shouldn't have to pray, well, I'm going to pray about tithing, and if God releases me to tithe, he's already told us what to do. We just have to yield and get in the same speed that God is on so that we can get to where God has called us to be. Romans 6, verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Somebody say amen. But you should obey or yield, that you should obey, yield in the lust thereof, so we don't let it reign in our mortal body. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Take this out. Whatever you yield to determines your direction, determines your speed, determines your destination. Everybody in this room yields to something. Everybody in this room yields to a higher power or a lower power. It is our choice. Who am I listening to? Because when I promise you, when the Holy Ghost says slow down, the devil's saying go, 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 go. And when the Holy Ghost says go, faster, faster, the enemy comes and says slow down. You don't have enough faith for that. You're going to fall just like you fell last year. The Holy Ghost knows you're not going to fall because the Holy Ghost would not tell you to go if you're going to fall. He would tell you to stop. The Holy Ghost, what you yield to, what you yield to determines your direction, speed, and destination. 23 verses in the Bible have the word yield. But there are almost 70 other verses that have a word that is synonymous with yield, like obey or listen to. Most of the time, yield in the Bible is not talking about obedience. Most of the time, yield is spoken in the Bible. It's not talking about slow down, speed up. Most of the time, yield is talking about obedience. Not obedience, but rather production. Jesus in Matthew 7 says, we yield good fruit or we yield bad fruit. Jesus in Mark 4 in the parable of the four types of soil and the good sower and all of these things, he says that they are to yield a hundredfold. And so yield in most of the Bible is talking about production. But there are those few verses where he says for us to yield to the Spirit, for us to not yield to works of unrighteousness. So God just dropped this phrase in my spirit while I was preparing this message, and I love it, and it's something that I'm going to think about every day. Yield to yield. Obey to produce. One of my friends put up, and this is something that maybe you'll catch on the way home today. One of my friends put up this morning. He said, every miracle is followed by an act, or is preceded by an act of obedience. If you want a miracle, obey. If you don't know what to obey, get in your word. Listen to God. And so I yield to yield. I obey and I yield. All right, Holy Ghost, where are we going today? What are we doing today? Who are we talking to today? Do I need to slow down? Do I need to speed up? Should I get rid of this friendship? Should I do this business deal? I'm yielding to the Spirit. And when I yield and obey, I yield. I produce a hundredfold, the Bible says. Stand on your feet. A hundredfold. I yield to yield. I pump the brakes and slow down and say, all right, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Been going too fast. I've been missing some signs. I'm out of place. I took a wrong turn. I missed my destination. I overshot it. I undershot it. And so I yield. Holy Ghost, what are you saying? All right, Holy Ghost, I hear you. Yeah. I missed that. I'm sorry, God. I missed that word. And so when I yield, then God says, all right, now it's time to yield, to produce. Hundredfold. You've been obedient in my word about your marriage. So now I'm going to produce a hundredfold in that marriage. You've been obedient to what my word says for you to do with your money. And so now I'm going to bless your business like it's never been blessed before. I'm going to yield to yield. Can I talk to the church for just a moment? You are one act of obedience. You are one listening to the Holy Ghost away from God, wrecking your life for the better with every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights from above, whom there is no variableness, there is no shadow of turning. And so when you wake up tomorrow morning, what you've got to start listening for is when the Holy Ghost says, slow down. Stop. You missed it. You're going the wrong way. Yield to yield, a.k.a. obey to produce, a.k.a. get in line with the Holy Spirit if you want to produce in any level of success in every area of your life. You got to get in line with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done in decency. With decency and in order. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. This is what Paul said as a leader of the church. He said, I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit to follow Christ. Follow me as I follow him, meaning get in the Spirit. Because when you get in the Spirit, it doesn't matter when leadership messes up. You're in the Spirit, so you always keep going. Doesn't matter when friends walk out. Why? Because I'm in line with the Spirit. I'm yielding to his voice, not their voice. I'm yielding to his voice, not my voice. So when he says stop, I stop. When he says go, I go. It's amazing how all this works together. The centurion said, I'm a man of authority. He said, I say come and he comes, go and he goes, do this and he does it. What he says is, he said, I understand yielding to authority. And when I yield to his authority, great things happen. Miss Paola is one person out of this entire congregation. She represents about 50 people.